All right, good evening. Good to see you here this evening. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the 21st chapter of John again. As you know, it's already been mentioned, this is our last evening with you for this time. And we're going to miss you. You are like our family. We've come to love you over the years, and we appreciate all that you've done for us, your encouragement and having us in your homes, and you've just blessed our hearts since we've been here. And my brother has asked that I give you his love as well. He certainly appreciated the love that was shown to him and his wife while he spent the last week with us. And this is what God's people is all about, that we love and share with each other. And so as we leave, we again appreciate your love and kindness and ask that you would remember us in prayer as we go. You've heard we fly out on the weekend to Florida, and then I'm back in Green Turtle Key for several weeks of ministry there as the Lord leads. Are we continuously seeking to do the will of the Lord? That's the desire of our hearts. That's what we feel He has asked us to do, and that is the least that we can do for what He has done for us. So again, we love you, and we pray that God would continue to be with each of you and bless you and encourage your hearts as you seek to serve the Lord. Keep looking up. We believe He's coming soon. And what a day. Glorious day that will be. John chapter 21. And we're going to finish tonight what we've been looking at in the life of Peter. As we know, a controversial figure many times. But as we study his life, and particularly after he had this encounter here with the Lord Jesus, what a life this man lived for his Lord. And I was thinking, even as I was going through the scriptures this afternoon, would to God that we, who know him as our Savior, would commit our lives and our service to Jesus Christ as this man Peter did. And it's not impossible. We can do it. It's just a matter of wanting to do it. It's just a matter of the desires of our hearts. It's just a matter of how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust this evening the desires of our hearts is to love Him, to be obedient to His Word, to serve Him, and to trust Him, and seek to do His will as long as life lasts. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 18. And these are the words of Jesus, and actually, they're probably words that Peter didn't really understand at the time. But Jesus, talking to Peter, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Tonight the thought is on, we are disciples. Follow him. And I emphasize that. Follow him. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at Peter, and we've been using the theme. The particular theme in all of this is being changed to serve. And we've looked at Peter's life in many ways. And we've looked at a life that reminds us of our own lives, because Peter was human, just as you and I, in so many ways. The only difference between Peter and ourselves was that Jesus Christ was there in person. He was face to face with him. Today you and I believe by faith. Believe by faith and not yet by sight. That will happen one of these days. That was the difference. One day we're going to be face to face, and one day we're going to give an account of our service, of what we have done for him. We looked the first week in the first portion of this chapter at the idea that all believers are fishers of men. We must obey his call. We must be obedient to his word. That is essential to all of us as his children. If you and I, who profess to know him as our Savior, who say that we've been saved by his blood, that we're following him, if we're not willing to be obedient to his word, then we have a serious problem in our Christian life and service. We must be obedient. God demands obedience in our lives, not perfection. He does not demand perfection. I think that's where we go wrong many times. We want to be perfect, but not obedient. But God wants us to be obedient to his word. We're reminded of this in the life of Saul. And Saul disobeyed, and God sent the prophet to him. And there was the bleating of the sheep. And as Samuel came, he said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep? And Saul began to give him a long story of why he did this and that and the other. And the prophet said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's what God asked. And we saw this earlier. God wants we as believers to obey his call in our lives. And I trust tonight that we are being obedient to his word. We are being obedient to his call. We're being obedient in what he would have us do and have us say in our Christian life, in our Christian service, because we're going to meet it someday. We're going to meet it. We're going to stand before him someday, and all of our lives will be there. It will be there. So it behooves us to be obedient. And if we're not obedient, we break that fellowship. Disobedience is sin. And sin breaks the fellowship between us and God. And then we do not have the joy of the Lord. We do not have that peace in our lives that passes all understanding. And it is important that we be obedient to his word. Secondly, last week, we looked at the fact that we are shepherds. We must love him. We are shepherds. We must love him. This is a part of our service for him. And I oftentimes think, it is so often for us to sit down and sing all of these wonderful songs that we have written many, many times over again. Oh, how I love Jesus. and sing of our love for Him and of His love for us. But beloved, it is more than singing the words that count. It is the expression of love from our hearts. It is the expression of love, the love of God that flows from us, not only from our lips, but from our actions, the things that we do and the things that we say. Because as someone mentioned tonight, the world is looking at the lives that we live, that we profess to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if we're not going to be obedient to Him, if we're not going to show our love, the love that He has given to us, to others, where is our testimony? Where is our testimony? The world is looking. And that's what the world needs to see in your life and mine. That we are living up to what we say we are. That we're living up to the person that we say we are. That we've been saved by His grace. And that we love Him with all our hearts. The Bible reminds us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, with everything that we have. But outside, so many times in our lives, our love for God is at the bottom of the totem pole. We love all else in life, but the one that we should love the most is the one so many times we seem to love the least. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, three times in succession, and we looked at it last week, the reasons why He said it. Lovest thou me? Peter answered, yes, I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Three times. Does He have to ask us that many times tonight to make sure that we love Him? Or we know with sincerity from the depths of our hearts that as we sing these songs, oh, how I love Jesus, that we really love Him. That the desires of our hearts is to be more like Him each day. The desires of our hearts as we walk the Christian road, the pilgrim road of life, irrespective of the things that happen to us, and they come. But that we allow that love of God to shine forth from our hearts and our lives. So that people might look at us and say, indeed, that is a child of God. Indeed, their life has been changed. There's something different about them. And it can only be experienced when we allow the love of God to flow through our hearts and lives. And He challenges your heart and mine again this evening. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? How much do we love Him? And that's only a question that I can answer for myself. Only a question that you can answer for yourself. We have to learn to love Him more. Then, tonight, we're going to finish with these thoughts. We are His disciples. Follow Him. Follow Him. You know, as we've gone through this 21st chapter, we've seen some specific questions here that the Lord Jesus asked Peter. Especially after he was asked to go to Galilee to wait there for the Lord. He disobeyed. He didn't wait. He went fishing. And when Jesus came and walked by the seashore, the important question that He asked Him was this. Have you any fish? Have you any meat? And the answer was, no, Lord, nothing. We have nothing. And then in verses 15, 16, 17, the three questions that I just reminded our hearts of. How much do you really love me? And now, the final question, or the final demand or requirement to Peter was, follow thou me. Follow thou me. Jesus, in previous verses, He's done a review of Peter's life and his service. But one thing we saw as we looked at that 18th verse, He changed the subject somewhat there, and we want to look at that briefly. He changes it from Peter's life now to Peter's death. It must have been a shock to Peter for the Lord to discuss his death in such a way. Now when he's rejoicing in his newly being restored back to the Lord and his fellowship with the Lord. But it was again just a reminder, as we saw last week. If we remember the first time that Jesus spoke to Peter about his personal death, Peter said unto him in Matthew 16:22, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be done unto thee." Peter had boasted in several occasions that he would die for Jesus. But what happened when the pressure came? He failed miserably. And beloved, we talk about Peter in this manner, but I wonder what would you and I do when the pressure comes on our lives? Are we willing to be faithful and true? Are we willing to be obedient to His Word? Are we willing to stand up and say, "I love you"? If you and I were challenged tonight in our service for the Lord, you know, we're so fortunate. I think of this so often. We're so fortunate in the Bahamas and in the Western world. We never get challenged for our service and our commitment to the Lord. Never. Maybe we get the hard person that will come up to us and try to refute what we believe, but challenged to the fact that if you do not refuse to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be shot to death. You will be put in prison. I wonder, what would you and I do? How much do we love Him? How much does He mean to your heart and mind, to our lives? Are we willing to stand up and be counted for Him? Are we willing to stand up and die for Him? Are we willing and ready to live and serve and die for the Lord Jesus? The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." How much of a sacrifice are we willing to present our bodies? How much are we willing to take? We complain about the least little thing that happens in our lives. We begin to even forget about God. We begin to accuse God of things that happens in our lives. The Apostle Paul says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you yield your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service." Yield our lives to Him. Live our lives for Him. Be willing to die for Him. Be willing to die for Him. As we see earlier that morning, Peter had recommitted his life to Christ. And now Jesus says to him, "The day will come, Peter, when you will die." We see this in verses 18 and 19. And you know something? Peter never forgot those words that Jesus spoke to him that morning. He never forgot them. He recalled them in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. He says, "Knowing that shortly I must die, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." He recalled those words. And Peter died. Peter was crucified. This man was crucified upside down because he said he was not willing that he should die. He was not worthy to die as Jesus did. Crucify him upside down. What a man. What a life. What a life. Can you and I live a life like that? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We are no different. All we need to do is to be obedient to God's Word, to seek God's will for our life, to keep our eyes upon Jesus, to be filled with the Spirit of God daily, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 20. Be filled daily with the Spirit so that we may stand against the wiles of the devil as they come. As they come before us, and the devil will come. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And we see this happening here in verses 20 and 21. Peter, for a moment there, he took his eyes off Jesus, and he looked back. Beloved, it is extremely dangerous for us to take our eyes off Jesus. If we've committed our lives to Jesus Christ, let's keep focused. Yes, there are distractions along the way, But let's do the utmost best in our lives to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Peter, for a moment here, took his eyes off Jesus. And he looked at John. He looked at this man, and he saw him coming. And he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? What shall this man do? You see, his thoughts came off the one that they should have been on, and he began looking at others. He began looking at someone else. Peter heard the footsteps of John coming behind, and he did a foolish thing. He asked a foolish question. He said, Jesus, you told me what would happen to me. What about John? And oh, beloved, Jesus reminded Peter something here in this verse of Scripture that is so very, very important in our lives today. And it was this. Peter, you follow me. Peter, you follow me. Take your eyes off John. Take your eyes off of what's happening around you. Stay focused, Peter. You know, you would think that Peter had learned a lesson from way back when Jesus came walking on the water when the disciples were out on the sea and it was so rough. And Peter was the one that spoke up and said, Lord, would you bid me come to thee? And Jesus said, come. And Peter jumped out of that boat and he began to walk on the water. He walked. He literally walked in the water according to the Scriptures, but he did something. He looked at the waves instead of Jesus. He began to go down. And here we see him again. He looked at John instead of Jesus. Beloved, tonight it is a lesson for you and I. If we're going to be obedient to the Lord, if we're going to love the Lord, if we're going to follow the Lord, let's take our eyes off those around us. Let's stop looking at others. Let's stop trying to live our lives as others are living. Our Lord is not going to question you or I about any other's lives. Yes, we have a responsibility as believers, and we dare not shirk our responsibility in telling others about Christ, in helping others in any way that we possibly can. But do not let us become overly concerned in our Christian life and service about what somebody else is doing for the Lord. Let you and I be concerned about what we are doing for the Lord, and that we are doing what God wants us to do, and not what somebody else is doing. I think that that is one of the great problems of many believers of our day. We want to sing like someone can sing. We want to preach like somebody else can preach. We want to do this like that or them or the other. My friend, God has given to each of us a talent. He's given to each of us the abilities to do something for Him, and it behooves us as His children to find what that talent is, to find what it is that He has asked us to do, and do it. And do it. I will stand here tonight and tell you that that was one of the greatest problems that I had when I felt that God had called me full-time into the ministry. I began to question the fact, God, there are all of these other men that are more versed in the Bible than I am, men who have gone to Bible school, you know, men of God that know the Word superior to me. How can I stand up and preach after, particularly to follow someone? You don't know how difficult it was for me the first time to come to Spanish Wells to preach in this chapel, to come to Spanish Wells and even to speak in the Methodist Church, because those things were in my mind. Satan had placed them there. And God spoke to me in a marvelous way. And when He was finished with me, I was in tears. He said to me, He gave me the story of Moses. The story of Moses. And Moses was trying to make all of the excuses in the world that he possibly could to get out of going into Pharaoh. And God said, Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, throw it down. He cast it down. The rod turned into a serpent. He said, now take it up. Use it. And God said to me, You open your mouth, I'll fill it. Go, you do what I want you to do. And I believe with all my heart that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I pray tonight that you are sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. Don't look at somebody else. Don't lose your blessings in life by looking at what somebody else may be doing in the church. Do your part. Be sure that that's what God wants you to do. Don't be like Peter. He took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at John. And what was Jesus' reprimand to him? He said, Peter, don't interfere with what's happening to John. If I want him to stay here, he will stay. Leave that up to me. Beloved, that's what we have to do. Leave the things around us up to Jesus. Let you and I do what he wants us to do. Let you and I become stronger in him by his word, through prayer, through fellowship, through living our lives each day that he blesses us, to let the world see him and him alone living in our personal life. It is his business. God gives to everyone the gift and the talents to use. And it is to him that each one must be responsible. I am responsible for myself alone. Nobody else. Not even my dear wife that I love so dearly. Nobody. And neither are you. We are responsible to God for ourselves. We are responsible to God for the lives that we live. Let us be obedient to his word. Let us love him. Let us follow him. Let us follow him. And I can guarantee you that our lives will be a channel of blessing to others. And that's what this is all about. That's what he has placed us here for. To live our lives for him. That we may bring others to the fold before it is too late. And beloved, there are many lost on Spanish Wells. There are many lost in Abaco. There are many lost throughout the Bahamas. We need to let our lives and our light shine for Jesus Christ. If we say that we're Christian, let's live as we are one. Let's live our lives for him. Let's remember the words of Jesus. Peter, what is that to you? Follow me. May our heart's desire tonight be to follow him. May God bless each of you this evening for his name's sake. And may you have that desire in your heart always to love him, serve him, follow him. Come what may. Difficulties will come. The Bible says that our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't want the unsaved. He's got them already. He wants you and I. He wants to disturb our lives. He wants you and I to take our eyes off Jesus and become preoccupied with what's around us. And then he will begin to impose his will and his way in our lives. Look upon Jesus. The song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And there the things of life will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Father, how we thank you this evening for the examples that we have in the life of Peter. And oh God, how that you, on that beautiful morning, gave him, Lord, the words of encouragement, the words of life, gave him the challenge to be obedient to you, to love you, to follow you. Father, may that challenge be ours tonight. May we be obedient to your word. May we love you as we say we do. May we seek to follow you as long as life lasts, so that one day together we shall be with you throughout the countless ages of eternity. God, we pray that your blessing would remain upon this people We love them dearly, Father. We pray your blessings would be with the leadership of this assembly. Give them wisdom, we pray, O God. Direct their paths. We pray that you would just meet the needs of these. There are many that are sick. There are many, O God, that are hurting in sorrow and pain. We commit them all to your care and keeping. Thank you again for the privilege we've had to be here, for the blessings we've received in being here and sharing your word. And now we commit these dear ones into your hands and your loving care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe.